and 58. Don't burst the bubble. Husband, I am all for a baseball metaphor with you, Mr. Gray. I want to keep my name here. I'll explain this evening. I am going into a meeting now. Miss our bubble, too. P.S. Thought I had to use my BlackBerry. Anastasia Steele, editor.
I stare at her email.
She's not going to take my name. She's not going to take my name. Why? She doesn't want my name. Not now, maggot.
It's a gut punch. I gape at the screen, shocked and momentarily paralyzed.
Don't fight, maggot.
Why didn't she tell me? This is how I find out? Damn it. To hell with this. I'm going to get her to change her mind. Like you did about her obeying you, Gray. My phone buzzes. It's Andrea.
Roz is on the way up.
Thanks. Send her in when she gets here. I don't know what to say to Anna, so I push her email from my thoughts and await my meeting with my chief operating officer. Roz is in sparkling form. She sails through a concise agenda and brings me up to speed on everything within an hour. You've done a great job, I tell her.
Christian, I've loved it, but in all honesty, I missed you.
I smile because I don't know how I should react. I'm not used to compliments from my staff. In all honesty, I can't say the same, I reply. She grins.
That's as it should be. I'm sure you had a wonderful time.
I did. Thank you. Except my wife doesn't want my name. She gives me a brief speculative look, but I force a smile.
I'll get on to the Detroit people, she says, and I'll give Hassan a call about whether you need to visit the New York operation this week.
Thursday would be good if they need me to go.
I'll let you know.
After she's gone, I reread Anna's email. It's as discouraging as it was the first time I read it. While I'm contemplating how to respond, Andrea puts Flynn through.
Christian, welcome back. How was your honeymoon?
He sounds hale and hearty and very British. He must have been back to the UK recently. Good, thanks. He hesitates, and I know he senses something's wrong. Can I come and see you? I ask.
I'm sorry, but my schedule is full today.
When I don't respond, he sighs.
Janet, my secretary, will kill me, but I can squeeze you in at lunchtime, though you'll have to watch me eating my cheese and pickle sandwiches.
Okay, what time is that?
12:30.
I'll see you then. I hang up and call Elliot to give him the full story on Hyde and brief him about security.
What a fucker!
Elliot sneers. Yes, that's him in a nutshell. Don't tell Kate about this. I know what a news hound she is.
Dude!
Elliot protests, but I cut him off. Elliot, I don't want to argue. She's tenacious. I met my wife because of Kate's constant badgering, and I don't want her fucking up the police investigation by becoming involved. Elliot is silent. No disrespect meant, I add. He sighs.
Okay, man. Hope the police catch the bastard.
Me too. I've got to be on site, but let me know how your meeting with Gia goes this evening. I can't wait to see the plans and we can start ordering the materials we'll need.
Will do. I have half an hour, Christian,
Flynn says when I march into his office.
She won't take my name.
What?
Anastasia. She won't take your name.
He looks momentarily confused.
Anastasia Gray.
Yes, she sent me an email this morning telling me so.
Sit,
he says, and points to the couch, and rather than take his usual chair, he sits down on the couch opposite. There's a plate of sandwiches, their crusts removed, and what looks like cola in a glass in front of him on the coffee table.
Lunch,
he says. Please, go ahead. Don't mind me.
So, Christian, let's just back up a bit. I last saw you on your wedding day. It was a joyous occasion. How was the honeymoon?
He takes a large bite out of a sandwich while my mind casts back to a few days ago. I relax a little, remembering the calm waters of the deep blue Med, the scent of the bougainvillea, how accommodating and efficient the crew of Fair Lady were, how much I loved being in Anastasia's company. It was sublime. John smiles.
Good. Any issues?
None that I want to discuss. I'm not prepared to tell him about the hickey incident yet. He gives me a direct, level look.
Because you are encroaching on my lunchtime, I'm going to tell you that's not very helpful.
I sigh. Nothing serious. We had one fight. Was that about your name? I flush.
No.
Okay. When and if you want to discuss that, we can. So what's happened since then? I tell him at length about Hyde, about firing him, about the incendiary device, and the fact that he had information about me, my family, and Anna on his SIP hard drive. I tell him about the car chase.
Crikey!
Flynn exclaims when I finish. He's now the chief suspect in my helicopter's sabotage.
Holy crap!
He mouths and takes a bite of his sandwich. But that's not the reason I'm here. This morning I got an email from Anna saying she doesn't want to take my name. I would have expected a discussion, at least, not just an email.
I see.
His expression is thoughtful.
Finding out your wife's ex-boss is trying to burn down your building and may be responsible for a near-fatal accident in your helicopter is a big deal, Christian. Plus a car chase. Have you considered that you may be channeling your stress from all these incidents into your reaction to the email that you received from your wife?
I frown. I don't think so. He strokes his chin.
Knowing how anxious you are about Anna's safety, all of these events had to have had an effect on you. As I've learned over the last few months, she is your primary concern. Always.
True. You do a great deal for her, he says gently.
I do. You've given up a great deal for her.
I say nothing. Where is he going with this?
Then you might be interpreting her email as a rejection, especially after all that you've done for her, and that wounds you.
I take a deep breath. Yes, it does. I just can't believe she didn't talk to me about it. It's like she's dismissing me and all that I have worked to become. I wasn't born a gray.
Flynn frowns. There's a lot to unpack in that sentence, Christian, and sadly I don't have the time to do that right now. I hate to break it to you, but Anastasia keeping her name might be more about how she feels about herself and may have nothing to do with you.
How could this not be about me? It's my name. It's the only one I have, the only one I acknowledge.
There you are, maggot.
I gaze at him, remaining impassive.
The best thing to do is to talk to her. Tell her how you feel,
Flynn adds.
We spoke about this before. Anna is not an unreasonable person.
She's not, except about the obey vow.
This obviously means a great deal to you. Talk to her. I think we have an appointment on Wednesday. We can discuss this in more detail then. And maybe, in the meantime, you'll have worked out some kind of compromise.
Compromise? She either takes my name or she doesn't. Where's the compromise in that?
Ask her why, Christian, he says gently. Communicate and compromise.
Yeah. It's better to concede the battle to win the war. I parrot his words from one of our earlier sessions.
Precisely.
I get up. Thanks for seeing me at such short notice.
Well, I hope I've been helpful.
I think so. I'm going to talk to Anna right now.
I'll see you Wednesday.
One more thing. Leela Williams, is she in Connecticut? I ask.
I think so. She starts college today in Hamden. I had an email from her last night. She's excited to begin her studies.
He angles his head to one side in an unspoken why.
It's nothing. See you Wednesday.
Ryan, take me to SIP. Yes, sir. On the short journey to Anna's workplace, I contemplate what I'm going to say to her. We had 3 weeks to discuss the issue of her name while we were on our honeymoon. Why didn't she bring it up then? I've done nothing but call her Mrs. Gray. She didn't object. Maybe I've made a stupid assumption about her name, but she knows I have issues. I've told her to manage my expectations. I want people to know she's my wife, even where she works. My name does that. It represents all that is good in my life. My parents, my father. It represents everything he's done for me, for Elliot and for Mia, too. Even though he's an asshole sometimes, I still want to emulate him. And every time I stood in front of his desk while he gave me a dressing down, I knew I'd failed and disappointed him. He has pushed me to be a better person, a better man. I admire him. I love him. Fuck. Maybe I should wait until this evening. No, it can't wait. I will burst a blood vessel. This is too important to me. As I stare out of the car window, looking at everyone going about their business, my resentment simmers. Why the hell didn't she tell me? By the time I stalk into SIP, I'm hanging onto my temper by a silken thread. The first person I meet is Jerry Roach, who's standing in the reception area and talking to a willowy woman with long, out-of-control dark hair.
Christian Gray, he says in disbelief.
Jerry, how are you?
Good. This is Elizabeth Morgan, our head of HR.
Hi, I muttered tightly as we shake hands.
Mr. Gray, I've heard a great deal about you.
Her smile doesn't reach her eyes, and I doubt Anna's confided in her about me, so where she's heard about me, I don't know, but I've got no time to speculate on this now.
What can we do for you?
Roach asks pleasantly. I need a quick word with Ms. Steele.
Anna, of course. I'll take you to her. Follow me.
His fawning small talk leaves a lot to be desired, and I listen with half an ear as we head through the double doors behind reception and through to Anna's office. I recall her saying that he went a little crazy when he found out that we were engaged. This does not endear him to me. Idly, I wonder how he would feel if he worked for Anna. That would surely make him crazy. There's a thought. That would teach him. Anna is in Hyde's old office. I nod in greeting to Sawyer, who's standing outside, while Roach raps on the door. Anna calls.
Come in.
The office is as small and shabby as I remember, still in need of updating and a lick of paint, though there are flowers on Anna's desk, and the shelves are ordered and tidy. She's eating her lunch with a young woman who I assume is her assistant. Both of them gape at me. I turn to her PA. Hello, you must be Hannah. I'm Christian Gray. Hannah leaps to her feet and offers me her hand.
Mr. Gray, how nice to meet you,
she says as we shake hands.
Can I fetch you a coffee?
Please. I give her a polite smile and she rushes out of the room. I turn to Roach. If you'll excuse me, Roach, I'd like a word with Ms. Steele.
Of course, Mr. Gray. Anna?
Roach leaves, closing the door behind him. I turn my attention to my wife, who looks guilty, like I've caught her doing something illicit, though she's as lovely as ever. A little pale, perhaps. A little hostile, perhaps. Shit. My anger recedes, leaving anxiety in its wake as she squares her shoulders.
Mr. Gray, how nice to see you.
Her smile is saccharine, and I know our honeymoon is over, and I have a fight on my hands. My spirit nosedives once more. Ms. Steele, may I sit down? I nod toward the worn leather chair facing Anna's desk that's been vacated by Hannah.
It's your company.
Anna offers me the chair with a dismissive wave of her hand. Yes, it is. I grin back with an equally saccharine look. Yes, baby. Mine. We are circling each other, boxers in a ring, sizing each other up. Dampening down my bitterness, I steel myself for the battle ahead. This issue is important to me. Your office is very small, I note as I take the seat.
It suits me.
Her tone is clipped and irritated. She's mad at me.
So what can I do for you, Christian?
I'm just looking over my assets.
Your assets,
she scoffs.
All of them.
All of them. Some of them need rebranding.
Rebranding?
Her eyebrows shoot up.
In what way?
I think you know. She sighs.
Please don't tell me you have interrupted your day after 3 weeks away to come over here and fight with me about my name.
That's exactly what I've done. I cross my legs and remove a speck of lint from my pants, playing for time. Steady, Gray. Not exactly fight, no. She narrows her eyes, pissed.
Christian, I'm working.
Looked like you were gossiping with your assistant to me.
We were going through our schedules.
She hisses as her cheeks color.
And you haven't answered my question.
There's a knock on the door.
Come in!
Anna yells, surprising us both. Hannah enters, bearing a small tray with coffee, which she places on Anna's desk.
Thank you, Hannah.
Anna mutters, subdued.
Do you need anything else, Mr. Gray?
Hannah asks.
No, thank you. That's all.
Deliberately, I give her my most excellent smile. It has the desired effect, and she scuttles out.
Now, Ms. Steele, where were we?
You were rudely interrupting my workday to fight with me about my name.
Anna spits the words at me, her fervor taking me by surprise. She is really mad.
So am I.
She should have told me. I like to make the odd impromptu visit. It keeps management on their toes, wives in their place, you know.
I had no idea you could spare the time.
She retorts. Enough. Cut to the chase, Gray. Striving to keep my tone respectful, I ask, quietly. Why don't you want to change your name here?
Christian, do we have to discuss this now?
I'm here. I don't see why not. This is important to me, Anna.
I have a ton of work to do, having been away for the last 3 weeks.
Are you ashamed of me? I inquire, surprising myself and inadvertently revealing the darkness that resides in my soul. I hadn't intended to go here. I hold my breath.
Don't fight, Maggot.
No, Christian, of course not.
She grimaces, appalled.
This is about me, not you.
How is this not about me? I cock my head, willing her to explain. Of course this is about me. It's my name. Her expression softens.
Christian, when I took this job, I'd only just met you.
It's like she's talking to a child.
I didn't know you were going to buy the company.
She closes her eyes as if this is a particularly painful memory and puts her head in her hands.
Why is it so important to you?
She asks and looks up, beseeching me. I want everyone to know that you're mine.
I am yours. Look.
She holds up her hand, which bears her wedding and engagement rings. It's not enough, I whisper.
Not enough that I married you?
Her voice is almost inaudible, and her eyes widen. That's not what I mean. Anna, don't distort what I'm trying to say to you.
What do you mean?
She demands. I want your world to begin and end with me. Her eyes are impossibly blue.
It does,
she says, and I don't know if I've ever heard two words filled with such quiet passion before. They suck the air out of the room and take my breath away.
I'm just trying to establish a career,
she continues, warming to her subject,
and I don't want to trade on your name. I have to do something, Christian.
I swallow down my rising emotion, listening hard as she speaks.
I can't stay imprisoned at Escala or the new house with nothing to do. I'll go crazy. I'll suffocate. I've always worked, and I enjoy this. This is my dream job. It's all I've ever wanted. But doing this doesn't mean I love you less. You are the world to me.
Her voice is hoarse and her eyes dewy with unshed tears. We hold each other's gaze, testing the silence between us. You are my world, Anna. But I want you bound to me in every way. I need that. I need you, maybe too much. I suffocate you? I whisper.
No, yes, no.
She sounds exasperated. She closes her eyes and rubs her forehead.
Look, we were talking about my name. I want to keep my name here because I want to put some distance between you and me, but only here. That's all. You know everyone thinks I got the job because of you, and the reality is...
She stops and sits back, staring at my expression in shock. Shit. How does she read me so well? Fess up, Gray. Do you want to know why you got the job, Anastasia?
What? What do you mean?
The management here gave you Hyde's job to babysit. They didn't want the expense of hiring a senior executive when the company was mid-sale. They had no idea what the new owner would do with it once it passed into his ownership, and wisely, they didn't want an expensive redundancy. So they gave you Hyde's job to caretake until the new owner, namely me, took over. That's the truth.
What are you saying?
She looks offended and horrified. Baby, don't sweat this. Relax. You've more than risen to the challenge. You've done very well. You're very good at what you do, Anastasia Steele.
Oh,
she says, and she looks lost. And it all becomes crystal clear. This is what she wants. This is her dream, and I can make it come true. I vowed I would uphold her dreams during our wedding. I don't want to stifle her. I want to help her reach her full potential. I want her to fly, but just not too far away from me. I don't want to suffocate you, Anna. I don't want to put you in a gilded cage. Well, the rational part of me doesn't. It's a gamble, but I play my most ambitious hand yet, voicing the idea that I've had on the spur of this moment. So, one of the reasons I'm here, apart from dealing with my errant wife, is to discuss what I am going to do with this company. Anna scowls.
So, what are your plans?
Her sarcasm is threaded through each word, and she cocks her head to one side, like I do, copying me, laughing at me, I suspect. God, I love her. She's recovered her backbone. I am changing the name of the company to Gray Publishing. Anna blinks. And in a year's time, it will be yours. Her mouth drops open. This is my wedding present to you. She shuts her mouth, opens it again, then shuts it again, looking shell-shocked. So, do I need to change the name to Steele Publishing?
Christian, you gave me a watch. I can't run a business.
I ran my own business from the age of 21.
But you're you, control freak and whiz kid extraordinaire. Geez, Christian, you majored in economics at Harvard before you dropped out. At least you have some idea. I sold paint and cable ties for 3 years on a part-time basis, for heaven's sake. I've seen so little of the world, and I know next to nothing.
Well, that's not true. You're also the most well-read person I know. I have to pitch this to her. You love a good book. You couldn't leave your job while we were on our honeymoon. You read how many manuscripts? 4?
5,
she whispers. And you wrote full reports on all of them. You're a very bright woman, Anastasia. I'm sure you'll manage.
Are you crazy?
Crazy for you. Always. She snorts, trying not to laugh.
You'll be a laughingstock. Buying a company for the little woman who has only had a full-time job for a few months of her adult life.
I dismiss her concerns with a wave of my hand. Do you think I give a fuck what people think? Besides, you won't be on your own.
Christian, I...
She stalls, lost for words, and I cherish the moment. It doesn't happen often. She lays her head in her hands again. When she looks up, she's trying not to laugh. Something amusing you, Ms. Steele?
Yes, you.
Her amusement is contagious, and I find myself smiling. This is what she does. Disarms me. Every time. Laughing at your husband. That will never do. Her teeth sink into her lovely lower lip. And you're biting your lip. I mutter darkly. It's a stirring sight. She sits back.
Don't even think about it,
she warns. Think about what, Anastasia? Fucking you in your office. Lust streaks through my bloodstream like lightning.
I know that look. We're at work, she whispers.
Can't you feel this, Anna? The sorcery between us is potent, raw. I lean forward to get closer to her, to catch her scent, to touch her. We're in a small, reasonably soundproofed office with a lockable door, I whisper. I want to seduce my wife.
Gross moral turpitude.
Each word is a bullet forming a shield around her. Not with your husband.
With my boss's boss's boss,
she hisses. You're my wife.
Christian, no. I mean it. You can fuck me 7 Shades of Sunday this evening, but not now. Not here.
Hell. I take a deep breath as I come to my senses, and the temperature in the room drops back to normal. I laugh, releasing my tension. 7 Shades of Sunday? I arch a brow, intrigued. I may hold you to that, Ms. Steele.
Oh, stop with the Ms. Steele!
She snaps and hammers her hand on her desk, making us both jump.
For heaven's sake, Christian, if it means so much to you, I'll change my name.
What? She's agreeing? I feel a sudden rush of relief. My face erupts in a huge grin. I've succeeded in a negotiation with my wife. I think this might be a first. Thank you, Anna. Good. I clap my hands and stand. Mission accomplished. Now I have work to do, if you'll excuse me, Mrs. Gray. She gawks at me. But what, Mrs. Gray? She shakes her head and closes her eyes, looking thoroughly exasperated.
Just go.
I intend to. I'll see you this evening. I'm looking forward to 7 Shades of Sunday. I ignore her scowl. Oh, and I have a stack of business-related social engagements coming up, and I'd like you to accompany me. She frowns. I'll have Andrea call Hannah to put the dates in your calendar. There are some people you need to meet. You should get Hannah to handle your schedule from now on.
Okay,
she mumbles, sounding bewildered. I lean over the desk, staring straight into her dazed baby blues.
Love doing business with you, Mrs. Gray.
She doesn't move, and I plant a soft kiss on her lips. Laters, baby, I whisper, then turn and leave. Outside SIP, I sink into the plush leather in the back of the waiting Audi and ask Ryan to take me back to Gray House.
Thank heavens.
My relief is proportionate to the anxiety I felt before I went into the building. It appears my wife can be reasonable. I reach for my phone to send her an email and find that she's beaten me to it.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, August 22nd, 2011, 1423. Not an asset. Mr. Gray, next time you come and see me, make an appointment so I can at least have some prior warning of your adolescent overbearing megalomania. Yours, Anastasia Gray. Please note name. Editor.
Overbearing megalomaniac, eh? My wife has a way with words. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, August 22nd, 2011, 1434, 7 Shades of Sunday. My dear Mrs. Gray, emphasis on my. What can I say in my defense? I was in the neighborhood, and no, you are not an asset. You are my beloved wife. As ever, you make my day. Christian Gray, CEO and overbearing megalomaniac. In a calmer frame of mind, I head back to my office. I need lunch. Throughout the afternoon, I check my emails to see if she's responded. She hasn't, and I presume that's the end of it. I hope. Later, I'm sitting in the car waiting for Anna outside SIP. Ryan is tapping his index fingers on the steering wheel, and it's driving me crazy. For fuck's sake. Taylor will be back this evening, so I'm endeavoring to keep my cool. I keep glancing toward the door to see if Anna is on her way. According to my watch, it's 5:35, precisely. She's 5 minutes late. We have a meeting with Gia later. I hope Anna hasn't forgotten. Where is she? Sawyer appears, holding the office door open for Anna. Ryan gets out and strolls around the car to the rear passenger door. What's he playing at? Head down, Anna walks briskly toward us, followed by Sawyer, who heads to the driver's seat while Anna climbs into the car. Ryan takes the passenger seat.
Hi,
she says, avoiding eye contact. Hi.
Disrupt anyone else's work today?
Her tone is frostier than an Arctic night.
Only Flynn's.
Her eyes flick to me in surprise, but she looks ahead.
Next time you go to see him, I'll give you a list of topics I want covered.
She's bristling like a feral kitten beside me. She's still mad. I clear my throat. You seem out of sorts, Mrs. Gray. She doesn't answer. She just stares ahead, ignoring me. I shuffle a little closer and reach for her hand. Hey, I whisper. But she snatches her hand out of mine. You're mad at me?
Yes!
She spits and folds her arms, turning away from me and staring through the window. Damn. Seattle streams past my window, and I stare out, unseeing, feeling miserable and out of my depth. I thought we'd resolved this. Sawyer stops outside Escala, and Anna grabs her briefcase and is out of the car before any of us are ready.
Anna!
I call. I've got this, Ryan says, and scoots out in pursuit. Not waiting for Sawyer to open my door, I scramble out after them, in time to watch Anna stomp into the building with Ryan at her heels. I'm right behind them when he dashes ahead to reach the elevator before her to press the call button.
What?
She snaps at him. He flushes, shocked, I think, by her tone.
Apologies, ma'am, he says.
He steps back when I join them.
So it's not just me you're mad at? I observe, wryly.
Are you laughing at me?
She seethes, her eyes narrowing.
I wouldn't dare.
I hold my hands up in surrender. I am no match for my wife's bad mood.
You need a haircut.
She scowls as she steps into the elevator.
Do I?
Taking my life in my hands and brushing my hair off my forehead, I follow her in.
Yes.
She stabs the code for our floor into the keypad.
So you're talking to me now?
Just.
What exactly are you mad about? I need an indication.
So I'm sure. She stares at me, horrified.
Do you really have no idea? Surely for someone so bright you must have an inkling. I can't believe you're that obtuse.
Wow. I take a step back. You really are mad. I thought we had sorted all this in your office.
Christian, I just capitulated to your petulant demands. That's all.
I have no answer to that. The elevator doors open, and Anna storms out.
Hi, Taylor,
I hear her say. I follow her into the foyer.
Mrs. Gray,
Taylor says, and glances at me with raised eyebrows. She dumps her briefcase in the hallway.
Good to see you.
I quietly address Taylor.
Sir,
he says, and I follow my wife into the living room.
Hi, Mrs. Jones,
Anna says, and stomps straight to the fridge. I nod at Gail, who's at the stove preparing dinner. Anna pulls out a bottle of wine and a glass from the cupboard while I remove my jacket, wondering what to say to her.
Do you want a drink?
She asks in a syrupy tone.
No, thanks.
I watch her as I take off my tie and undo my shirt collar. She pours herself a large glass of wine while Mrs. Jones, with a swift, unreadable look at me, exits the kitchen. So Anna's frightened off all the staff. I am the last man standing. I run my hand through my hair, feeling helpless, while she takes a sip of wine, closing her eyes and enjoying the taste, or so it would seem.
Enough. Stop this,
I whisper, stepping toward her. Tucking her hair behind her ear, I then gently tug on her earlobe because I want to touch her. She takes a breath, then shakes me off.
Talk to me,
I whisper.
What's the point? You don't listen to me.
Yes, I do. You're one of the few people I listen to. Her eyes don't leave mine as she takes another swig of wine. Is this about your name? I ask.
Yes and no. It's about how you dealt with the fact that I disagreed with you.
She sounds surly. Anna, you know I have issues. It's hard for me to let go where you're concerned. You know that.
But I'm not a child, and I'm not an asset.
I know. I sigh.
Then stop treating me as though I am.
She beseeches me with quiet fortitude. I can't bear not touching her. Brushing my fingers down her cheek, I run the tip of my thumb across her bottom lip. Don't be mad. You're so precious to me. Like a priceless asset, like a child.
I'm neither of those things, Christian. I'm your wife. If you were hurt that I wasn't going to take your name, you should have said.
Hurt? I frown. Hurt. Yes, I am. Was. Shit. This is confusing. This is what Flynn said. I glance at my watch. The architect will be here in just under an hour. We should eat. Anna looks dismayed, the V between her brows deeper than usual.
This discussion isn't finished.
What else is there to discuss?
You could sell the company.
Sell it? I scoff.
Yes.
Why would I do that? You think I'd find a buyer in today's market?
How much did it cost you?
It was relatively cheap.
So if it folds?
We'll survive. But I won't let it fold, Anastasia. Not while you're there.
And if I leave?
And do what?
I don't know. Something else?
You've already said this is your dream job, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I promised before God, Reverend Walsh, and a congregation of our nearest and dearest to cherish you, uphold your hopes and dreams, and keep you safe at my side.
Quoting your wedding vows to me is not playing fair.
I've never promised to play fair where you're concerned. Besides, you've wielded your vows at me like a weapon before. She scowls. Anastasia, if you're still angry with me, take it out on me in bed later. Her mouth pops open, and I know how I'd like to fill it. Right now. Here. Then I remember. Seven shades of Sunday, I whisper. Looking forward to it. She closes, then opens her mouth again. Oh, baby, what I'd like to do to that mouth. Stop, Gray. Gail? I call. And a few moments later, she comes back into the kitchen.
Mr. Gray?
She says. We'd like to eat now, please.
Very good, sir.
I watch Anna, who has gone worryingly quiet as she takes another sip of wine. I think I'll join you in a glass, I mutter, and run a hand through my hair. She's right, it's too long. But I don't think she'd approve if I went to a sklava to have it cut. Anna is monosyllabic as we eat. Well, I'm eating. Anna is pushing her food around her plate. But given how mad she is at me, I decide not to chide her about it. It's frustrating. Hell, I can't stay quiet. You're not going to finish?
No.
I wonder if she's doing this on purpose. But before I can ask her, she stands and takes my empty plate and hers from the dining table.
Gia will be with us shortly,
she says.
I'll take those, Mrs. Gray,
Mrs. Jones says.
Thank you. You didn't like it?
Gail asks, concerned.
It was fine. I'm just not hungry.
Mrs. Jones gives Anna a pitying smile, and I suppress my eye roll. I'm going to make a couple of calls, I mumble to escape them both. The spectacular sunset over the distant sound does little to improve my temper. I wish for a moment that Anna and I were on the Grace or back on the Fair Lady. We didn't argue then. Well, apart from after the hickey incident. I dwell on Flynn's words.
Marriage is a serious business.
It sure is. Sometimes too serious, especially if your wife doesn't agree with you.
Communicate and compromise.
This should be my new mantra. Why is this so hard?
I don't want you to sabotage your happiness, Christian.
Flynn is still in my head. Shit, is that what I'm doing? Sullenly, I pick up the phone and call my dad to let him know that all the arrangements are in place for additional security. It's a short conversation, and when I'm done, I gather up Gia Matteo's designs and head back into the living room. There's no sign of Anna or Mrs. Jones, who has cleaned up the kitchen and dining area. I spread the plans out on the dining table, then using the remote, I scroll through the list of music. I chance upon Fauré's Requiem. This should soothe my soul. And maybe Anna's too. I press play and wait. The notes from a church organ echo through the living room, and they're joined by the celestial voice of the choir, their voices rising and falling to the lament. It's stunning, calming, elevating, perfect. Anna appears on the threshold, where she stops and inclines her head, listening to the music. She looks different. She's shrouded in silver gray, her hair backlit and shining from the hall lights. She looks like an angel.
Mrs. Gray, what's this?
She asks. Fauré's Requiem. You look different.
Oh, I've not heard it before.
It's very calming, relaxing. Have you done something to your hair?
Brushed it,
she says, and there's too much distance between us. Transported by my stunning wife and the music, I make my way over to her.
Dance with me,
I whisper.
To this? It's a requiem.
She squeaks, shocked. Yes. And? I tug her into my arms and hold her, my nose in her hair, inhaling her sweet but stirring fragrance. She wraps her arms around me and nuzzles my chest, and together we start to sway, slowly. Side to side. Anna, this is what I've missed, you in my arms. I hate fighting with you, I whisper.
Well, stop being such an arse.
I chuckle and draw her closer.
Arse? Ass.
I prefer arse.
You should, it suits you.
I laugh and kiss the top of her head, remembering that she was very taken with the word when she overheard it in Harrods. London. Happy times.
A requiem?
There's a trace of censure in her murmur. I shrug. It's just a lovely piece of music, Anna. And I get to hold you. Taylor coughs, and grudgingly I release her.
Miss Matteo is here, he announces.
Show her in. I clasp Anna's hand as Gia enters.
Christian, Anna!
She beams at us, and we each shake her hand. Gia? I respond politely.
You both look so well after your honeymoon.
She purrs. I pull Anna close.
We had a wonderful time. Thank you.
I plant a soft kiss on my wife's temple, and she slips her hand into my back pocket and, to my delight, squeezes my butt. Gia's smile falters a little.
Have you managed to look over the plans?
She asks brightly.
We have,
Anna says with a quick glance at me. I can't help my grin. Anna's gone all territorial and is laying claim to me. I like it. Please, the plans are here. I wave in the direction of our dining table. Reluctantly, I pull away from Anna, but hold her hand.
Would you like something to drink?
Anna asks Gia.
A glass of wine? That would be lovely. Dry white, if you have it.
She responds. I switch off the music as Gia joins me by the table.
Would you like some more wine, Christian?
Anna calls. Please, baby. I watch as she retrieves the wine glasses. Gia stands beside me. This is good work, Gia, I say, as she moves a little too close. This especially. I point at the rear elevation of her CAD drawing. I think Anna has some opinions on the glass wall, but generally we're both pleased with the ideas you've come up with.
Oh, I'm glad.
Gia coos, and she pats my arm. Keep your fucking distance. She's wearing a cloying, rich perfume that's almost suffocating. I step out of her reach and call to Anna. Thirsty here.
Coming right up,
Anna responds. A beat later, she's back with glasses of wine for each of us, and she inserts herself between Gia and me, deliberately, I think. Has she noticed how Gia is incapable of keeping her hands to herself? Cheers. I offer up my glass and thanks to Anna and take a sip of wine.
Anna, you have some issues with the glass wall?
Gia prompts.
Yes, I love it, don't get me wrong. But I was hoping that we could incorporate it more organically into the house. After all, I fell in love with the house as it was, and I don't want to make any radical changes. I see.
Gia's eyes flick to mine, and I look at Anna. She continues.
I just want the design to be sympathetic, you know, more in keeping with the original house.
Anna glances at me. No major renovations, I say.
No.
You like it as it is?
Mostly, yes. I always knew it just needed some TLC.
Anna's eyes are glowing, reflecting mine, I'm sure. Are we talking about the house or me?
Okay.
Gia gives us a quick glance before pitching a revised plan.
I think I get where you're coming from, Anna. How about if we retain the glass wall, but have it open out onto a larger deck that's in keeping with the Mediterranean style? We have the stone terrace there already. We can put in pillars and matching stone, widely spaced so you'll still have the view, add a glass roof or tile it as per the rest of the house. It'll also make a sheltered alfresco dining and seating area.
Anna looks impressed. Gia continues.
Or instead of the deck, we could incorporate a wood color of your choice into the glass doors. That might help to keep the Mediterranean spirit. Like the bright blue shutters in the south of France,
Anna says, looking at me. I'm not keen on the idea, but I'm not going to shoot her down in front of Ms. Matteo. Besides, if that's what Anna wants, she can have it. I'll learn to live with it. I ignore Gia, preening beside me. Anna, what do you want to do? I ask.
I like the deck idea.
Me too. Anna turns her attention to Gia.
I think I'd like to see revised drawings showing the bigger deck and pillars that are in keeping with the house. Sure,
Gia says to Anna.
Any other issues? Christian wants to remodel the master suite,
Anna says. Another discreet cough interrupts us. Taylor? He's standing on the threshold. I need to confer with you on an urgent matter, Mr. Gray. I squeeze Anna's shoulders and address Gia. Mrs. Gray is in charge of this project. She has absolute carte blanche. Whatever she wants, it's hers. I completely trust her instincts. She's very shrewd. Anna reaches up and pats my hand. If you'll excuse me. I leave them and follow Taylor into his office. Prescott is there, seated at the CCTV monitor bank. Over her shoulder, all the feeds from around the apartment and also from the perimeter of Escala and the garage are on display.
Mr. Gray?
Prescott greets me. Evening, what gives? Taylor grabs a chair from his small conference table and places it beside Prescott. He gestures to me to sit down. I comply and look at them expectantly. Prescott has been going through all the tapes from over the weekend from downstairs and outside. She found this. Taylor nods at her, and using her mouse, Prescott clicks start on one of the screens. A grainy image begins to play. It shows a man in coveralls walking toward the front entrance of the building and inspecting the camera itself. She freezes it as the man looks directly at the camera. Fuck. It's Jack Hyde, I murmur. And he has his hair tied back. When was this? It's Saturday, August 20th at around 9:45 in the morning. His hair is lighter here. He must have been wearing a wig in the server room at Gray House.
Sir, I've isolated all the footage I can find of him at around this time,
Prescott says. Interesting. What else do you have? She runs through several clips of Hyde at the front door, at the opening to the garage, at the fire escapes. He's carrying a broom, which he uses occasionally so he looks like a street cleaner. Cunning bastard. It's weirdly fascinating to watch him. Have you sent this to Welch? Not yet, Taylor says. I thought you'd better see it first. Send it to him. Perhaps he can track where he goes from here. Will do. This might be just the clue they need, though I learned today they haven't found him yet. He's still not been to his apartment, sir. Oh, that's news. I spoke with Welch for a full update about an hour ago. Taylor clarifies. No doubt he'll fill me in tomorrow. This is good work. Well done, Prescott. I give her a quick smile.
Thank you, sir.
We'll have to be extra careful, knowing that he's prowling around the building. Indeed. Taylor agrees. I'd better head back. Thank you, both of you. It looks like Anna and Gia are finishing up when I enter the living room. All done? I ask, as I put my arm around Anna.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Gia smiles brightly, though her smile looks forced.
I'll have the revised plans to you in a couple of days.
Oh, I'm Mr. Gray now. Interesting. Excellent. You're happy? I ask Anna, and I want to know what she said to Gia. Anna nods, looking rather pleased with herself.
I'd better be going,
Gia says, again too brightly. She offers her hand to Anna first, then to me.
Until next time, Gia,
Anna says with a charming smile.
Yes, Mrs. Gray. Mr. Gray.
Taylor appears at the entrance of the great room.
Taylor will see you out,
Anna says, and arm in arm we watch her join Taylor in the hallway. When she's out of earshot, I look down at my wife. She was noticeably cooler.
Was she? I didn't notice.
Anna shrugs, trying and failing miserably to look nonchalant. My wife is an appalling liar.
What did Taylor want?
She's changing the subject. Releasing her, I turn and start rolling up the plans. It was about Hyde.
What about Hyde?
She pales. Shit. I don't want to add to her nightmares. It's nothing to worry about, Anna. Abandoning the plans, I draw her into my arms. It turns out he hasn't been in his apartment for weeks, that's all. I kiss her hair and go back to rolling up Gia's designs. So, what did you decide on?
Only what you and I discussed. I think she likes you,
Anna says quietly. I think so, too. Did you say something to her? She stares down at her hands. She's nodding her fingers. We were Christian and Anna when she arrived, and Mr. and Mrs. Gray when she left, I prompt.
I may have said something,
she admits. Oh, baby, you're going into battle for me. I've met Gia's type before, always in a business context. She's only reacting to this face. Anna looks alarmed. What? You're not jealous, are you? I'm shocked that she could even think this. Her cheeks color, and she doesn't answer me, but looks down at her hands again, and I know I have my answer. I remember Elliot alluding to Gia's nature, and it reminded me of Elena, a woman who doesn't take no for an answer, a woman who gets what she wants. Anna, she's a sexual predator, not my type at all. How can you be jealous of her, of anyone? Nothing about her interests me. I run a hand through my hair, at a loss. It's only you, Anna. It will only ever be you. Abandoning the drawings again, I move quickly toward her and grasp her chin. How can you think otherwise? Have I ever given you any indication that I could be remotely interested in anyone else?
No,
she whispers.
I'm being silly. It's just today. You...
She stops. What about me?
Oh, Christian.
Tears well in her eyes.
I'm trying to adapt to this new life that I had never imagined for myself. Everything is being handed to me on a plate. The job, you, my beautiful husband, who I never knew I'd love this way, this hard, this fast, this indelibly.
I stare at her, paralyzed, as she takes a deep breath.
But you're like a freight train, and I don't want to get railroaded because the girl you fell in love with will be crushed. And what'll be left? All that would be left is a vacuous social x-ray flitting from charity function to charity function.
Whoa, Anna.
And now you want me to be a company CEO, which has never even been on my radar. I'm bouncing between all these ideas, struggling. You want me at home? You want me to run a company? It's so confusing.
She fights down a sob.
You've got to let me make my own decisions, take my own risks, and make my own mistakes, and let me learn from them. I need to walk before I can run, Christian, don't you see? I want some independence. That's what my name means to me.
This is about her. Shit. You feel railroaded? I whisper. She nods. I close my eyes. I just want to give you the world, Anna, everything and anything you want, and save you from it, too. Keep you safe. But I also want everyone to know you're mine. I panicked today when I got your email. Why didn't you tell me about your name? She flushes.
I only thought about it while we were on our honeymoon, and, well, I didn't want to burst the bubble, and I forgot about it. I only remembered yesterday evening. And then Jack, you know, it was distracting. I'm sorry, I should have told you or discussed it with you, but I could never seem to find the right time.
I study her, measuring her words. Yes, it would have resulted in an argument on our honeymoon.
Why did you panic?
She asks. I want to be worthy of you, and your email derailed me. Stop, Gray. I just don't want you to slip through my fingers.
For heaven's sake, I'm not going anywhere. When are you going to get that through your incredibly thick skull? I love you.
She waves her hand in the air, looking for inspiration, like I do.
More than eyesight, space, or liberty.
Shakespeare? A daughter's love? I hope not.
No.
She laughs.
It's the only quote that came to mind.
Mad King Lear.
Dear, dear Mad King Lear.
She reaches up and strokes my cheek, and I lean into her hand, closing my eyes and reveling in her touch.
Would you change your name to Christian Steele so everyone would know that you belong to me?
Opening my eyes, I stare at her. Belong to you?
Mine,
she says. Yours, I repeat. Yes, I would, if it meant that much to you. I remember surrendering myself to her here before we were married, when I thought she was leaving.
Does it mean that much to you?
She asks. Yes.
Okay,
she says. I thought you'd already agreed to this.
Yes, I have. But now that we've discussed it further, I'm happier with my decision.
Oh. Flynn was right. This was about her and how she feels. But I'm glad she's come around. It's a relief. Our feud is over. I beam at her, and she smiles back. So I swoop down, grab her by her waist, and swing her high. Thank you, Anastasia. She giggles, and I set her on her feet. Mrs. Gray, do you know what this means to me?
I do now.
I kiss her, threading my fingers through the softness of her hair, and whisper against her lips. It means seven shades of Sunday. I run my nose down hers.
You think?
She leans back, her eyes narrowed, but she's trying to hide her smile. Certain promises were made, an offer extended, a deal brokered. I whisper. And I want you. After this fight, I need to know we're okay. Anna regards me as if I've lost my mind. Hell, she's backing out. You reneging on me? A plan pops, fully formed, into my mind. I have an idea. A really important matter to attend to. Anna's expression intensifies. She thinks I'm crazy. Yes, Mrs. Gray. A matter of the gravest importance. I'm sure there's a wicked gleam in my eye. This is a means to an end. She narrows hers once more.
What?
She asks. I need you to cut my hair. Apparently it's overlong and my wife doesn't like it.
I can't cut your hair,
she exclaims in amused disbelief. Yes, you can. I shake my head and my hair falls into my eyes. How have I not noticed this?
Well, if Mrs. Jones has a pudding bowl.
Anna giggles. I laugh. Okay, good point, well made. I'll get Franco to do it. Her laugh turns to a grimace, and after a moment's hesitation, she grabs my hand with surprising strength.
Come.
She drags me all the way to our bathroom and releases me there. Looks like she's going to cut my hair. I stand watching her as she drags the bathroom chair in front of her sink. Her high heels emphasize her legs, and the tight pencil skirt sculpts her beautiful behind. This is a show worth watching. She turns and points to the chair.
Sit.
Are you going to wash my hair? She nods. Whoa. I can't remember anyone washing my hair, ever. Okay. Without taking my eyes off hers, I slowly unbutton my shirt, and when it's undone, I present her with my right wrist. The cuff is held together with one of my cufflinks. Undo this, baby. With a darkening look, she undoes the right, then the left cuff, her fingertips tantalizing my skin with a soft sweep or two over each pulse. Her blouse is undone, one button too far, and I glimpse the soft swell of her breasts encased in fine lace. It's a most inspiring sight. She steps closer, and I catch a hint of her lovely fragrance as she pushes my shirt off my shoulders and lets it drop to the floor.
Ready,
she whispers, and that one word holds so much promise. It's arousing, deeply arousing. For whatever you want, Anna. Her eyes stray to my lips, and she leans in for a kiss.
No.
I breathe, and in a monumental act of self-sacrifice, I grasp her shoulders. Don't. If you do that, I'll never get my hair cut. Her mouth forms a perfect O. I want this, I whisper, surprising myself.
Why?
Because no one's washed my hair, ever. Because it'll make me feel cherished. She gasps at my softly spoken confession, and before I can do so much as blink, she embraces me, holding me close. She kisses my chest with soft, gentle kisses where only 2 months ago I couldn't bear to be touched.
Anna, my Anna.
Closing my eyes, I gather her in my arms while my heart overflows. I think I'm forgiven for railroading her. I think we're okay. We stand in our embrace in the middle of our bathroom for an age, her warmth and her love soaking into me. Eventually, Anna leans back, the love light shining in her eyes.
You really want me to do this?
I nod, and her smile matches mine. She steps out of my arms and points to the chair again.
Then sit.
I do as she asks while she kicks off her shoes and retrieves my shampoo from the shower.
Would sir like this?
She holds it up as if she's on a cheesy shopping channel, selling it to me.
Hand-delivered from the south of France. I like the smell of this.
She pops the top.
It smells of you.
Please. She places the shampoo on the vanity unit, then reaches for a small towel.
Lean forward,
she orders, and drapes the towel over my shoulders and turns the taps on behind me.
Lean back.
She's bossy. I like it. I try to lean back, but it doesn't work because I'm too tall. I shuffle the chair forward and then tip it so it rests against the sink. Success. I tilt my head backward over the sink and watch Anna. Slowly, using a glass to scoop up the warm water, she anoints my head, leaning over me.
You smell so good, Mrs. Gray.
I close my eyes, enjoying her hands on me as she continues to wet my hair. Abruptly, she pours water over my forehead and it flows into my eyes.
Sorry,
she squeals. I laugh and wipe the excess off with the corner of my towel.
Hey, I know I'm an arse, but don't drown me.
She giggles and plants a tender kiss on my forehead.
Don't tempt me,
she whispers. Reaching up, I place my hand on her neck and guide her lips to mine. Her breath is sweet. She tastes of Anna, and Sauvignon Blanc, an enticing combination. Mmm, I murmur, savoring the taste, releasing her. I lean back, ready for her to continue. She smiles down at me, and I hear the sound of liquid squirting from the tube as she squeezes it into her hand. Gently, she starts to massage the shampoo into my scalp. From my temples, she works her way over my head, and I close my eyes, relishing her touch. Sweet Jesus. Who knew heaven resided in my wife's fingertips? When Franco's cut my hair, he's always used a spray. I've never had my hair washed. Why not, Gray? This is so relaxing. Or perhaps it's just Anna. I'm so acutely aware of her. Her leg grazing mine, her arm skimming my cheek, her touch, her scent. That feels good, I murmur.
Yes, it does.
Her lips graze my forehead. I like it when you scratch my scalp with your fingernails.
Head up,
she says, and I lift my head so she soaps the back using her fingernails on my scalp. Bliss.
Back.
I do as I'm told, and she pours water over my head again, rinsing out the suds.
Once more?
She asks. Please. When I open my eyes, she's smiling down at me.
Coming right up, Mr. Gray.
She releases me and fills my sink.
For rinsing,
she explains. Closing my eyes, I surrender myself to her ministrations. She washes my hair again, anointing me with more water, massaging more shampoo into my scalp and using her fingernails. I have found Nirvana. This is pure paradise. Her fingers caress my cheek and I open heavy eyelids to watch her. She kisses me, and her kiss is soft, sweet, chaste. I sigh, my contentment complete. She moves over me and her breasts brush my face. Fuck. Hello. Behind me, the water gurgles down the drain, but with my eyes closed, I reach up and grab her hips, then slide my fingers over her magnificent behind.
No fondling the help,
she warns. Don't forget I'm deaf. Slowly I start to hitch up her skirt, but she swats my arm. I grin, feeling like I've been caught with my hand in the cookie jar. I stop misbehaving, but I keep my hands on her fine backside while she rinses my hair. I imagine I'm playing the Moonlight Sonata on her ass, my fingers flexing through the notes. She wiggles deliciously against my fingers, and I growl in appreciation.
There, all rinsed,
she announces. Good. My fingers tighten around her hips, and I sit up, dripping water everywhere and pulling Anna's side saddle onto my lap. I curl my fingers around her nape, and with my other hand I hold her jaw. She gasps, and I take full advantage, pressing my lips to hers and kissing her, my tongue seeking more. Hot, hungry, ready. I don't care that I'm spraying water all over the bathroom and soaking my wife. Anna's fingers tighten in my wet hair as she returns my kiss with a ferocity of her own. Desire courses through my veins, demanding release. I'm tempted to rip off her blouse, but I tug the top button. Enough of this primping. I want to fuck you Seven Shades of Sunday, and we can do it in here or in the bedroom. You decide. Anna's expression is dazed. What's it to be, Anastasia?
You're wet,
she whispers. Holding her hips, I tip my head forward and rub my wet hair all over the front of her blouse. She squeals once more and squirms, but I tighten my hold. Oh, no you don't, baby. When I look up, her blouse is sticking to her like a second skin, her lacy bra obvious. Her nipples pert beneath the lace. She's gorgeous, but she's also outraged, amused, and aroused at once. Love the view, I whisper, and lean down to run my nose around her wet, waiting nipple. She groans and wriggles on me. Answer me, Anna, here or the bedroom?
Here,
she whispers. Good choice, Mrs. Gray, I murmur against the corner of her mouth, and move my hand from her jaw to her leg. Skimming my fingers over her pantyhose toward her thigh, I raise her skirt higher and higher while placing tender kisses along her jaw. Oh, what shall I do to you? I murmur. Oh. My fingers reach the firm flesh of her thighs. She's wearing stockings. Deep joy. I like these. I run a finger under the stocking top and across the soft skin of her upper thigh. Anna squirms in delight. I groan. If I'm going to fuck you, Seven Shades of Sunday, I want you to keep still.
Make me,
she demands, and the challenge in her eyes goes straight to my cock. Oh, Mrs. Gray, you have only to ask. I slide my hand up to her panties, glad that she's wearing them over her garter belt. Let's divest you of these. I tug gently, and she shifts on top of my erection. Fuck. My breath hisses through my teeth. Keep still, I grumble.
I'm helping.
She pouts in protest, and I suck her bottom lip between my teeth. Still, I warn, then release her lip and tug her panties down her legs, crushing them into my hand. I have a plan for them. I raise Anna's skirt so it's bunched